All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Boil Down Brevard. I am your host, Jessica Saggio, here in the studio with my lovely co-host, the Rob Landers.
Hey, hey everybody. How's everything going?
We were just whining about feeling fat today.
I do. I feel fat.
I do, too.
But you'll notice, you will notice, no plaid.
No plaid today. No, he's wearing a nice...
Like, after you said something last week, I made a mental note. Do not wear plaid on Monday when you're recording. Yes, that's right. On Monday, we have actually moved, if you hadn't noticed, because we weren't here on Thursday. We have actually moved the podcast to Mondays. We have the blessing of executive editor Bob Gabordi, who looked at me on Monday afternoon and said, well, you kind of said you were going to do it anyway, so you might as well.
Yeah. We kind of voluntold him we were changing the date.
We hedged a little bit. Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we're moving it. So.
Yeah.
So he's good with that. So
what color of shirt would you call that though? Seafoam green.
Actually, my wife likes to call it Tiffany blue.
Tiffany blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's one of those colors I can never figure out because it like looks a little bit twinge of green, but it also looks blue. And thanks Tiffany's for throwing us all off on that. But. I'm feeling fat today, though, because I went to the doctor's this morning, and I found out, I found out on Friday, don't tell anybody, what I'm having.
Twins?
No, not okay. Twins. Well, I feel like I'm having twins
right,
today.
Right, I figure if you're feeling fat, then maybe he told you you're having twins.
I know, right? My mother-in-law is convinced I'm having twins, because she didn't find out until she was 5 months pregnant that she was having twins. And I'm like, just call me fat. Like, just call me fat, because I'd rather be fat than have twins right now with a toddler. Which is what she did.
So
I can't tell you. I'm having a gender reveal on Saturday, so I will let you guys know on Monday. You'll just have to guess.
So what kind of gender reveal are you having? Are you gonna have like balloons come out of a box? Or are you gonna cut open a cake? Or
No. We're gonna we did this with Cece, and we're just gonna keep it a tradition. But we shoot off a firework, and it's either blue or it's either pink. So it's one of those. It's just a little bit different. If we lived somewhere that was more in like a wooded area, I saw this really funny thing where somebody shot at. It must have been like some kind of explosive powder. They took like a rifle and shot at it and it just blew up like the color. That would be fun, but we can't
now,
do that.
Now, for legal reasons, we have to, in full disclosure, say that Jessica's gender reveal party will be tied to some sort of agricultural event where the fireworks will be completely within the legal ramifications of shooting fireworks off.
Well, we have
in
a terrible bird issue, so.
So that's completely within the legal bounds of how she's using fireworks for her gender reveal party.
We have so many birds. We got to get rid of them. I'm sorry.
It's
we're
like,
growing
it's
all
like
the crops.
Steel magnolias.
Exactly. Yeah. But we only shoot off like two. It's not like some big display.
Why are you having two? Are you having
twins? Oh my gosh, I'm not having twins. We only shoot off like a couple fireworks, so it's only like a minute.
Anyway, before we get too deep in the conversation, I'd like to remind everyone to please click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow in the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic app so that you never miss an episode. You can follow me on Twitter at @byroblanders. That's at @byroblanders. And you can follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica J. Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. And for all of those of you who are on Snapchat, you can find her at Jujuju. That's JUHJUHJUH.
Actually, I just want to point out that I use Snapchat way more than I use Twitter these days.
Truth.
Like, I'm just not feeling the Twitter lately.
Truth.
I mean,
I was using Snapchat a lot this weekend. That filter with the really long nose, that long nose filter, that's a lot of fun. And why is there a KFC filter now?
I don't know.
You seen this?
No, I have.
Like where you look like the Colonel and you open your mouth and it looks like you're taking a bite of a chicken leg?
Yeah.
Then you get pinwheels of KFC buckets in your face?
It's very confusing. Although
it's very bizarre.
My mom recently got on Snapchat.
I saw a photo.
And so she's like all about the filters.
She's all
and
about
she did
the
like
filters.
Three of those this weekend. I'm like, what is with the chicken one?
She used the bumblebee filter. Because I think you took a, you screen grabbed
that. Was
that
her first one.
It.
She obviously didn't realize that she took a picture because she's not posing in the picture. It's hysterical. But all she does on Snapchat is use the filters and like, use different voices and say hello. That's her entire Snapchat right now. But you know, whatever, more power to her. Hey, look, we've all done it. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's better than the people who Snapchat concerts, which is like everyone on my feed. Everyone, they go to a concert and they Snapchat the whole freaking concert.
You know,
I can't stand it. I don't want to watch your concert.
Well, more importantly than that, why are you Snapchatting it? Why aren't you just, you know, enjoying the concert? You paid to go to this concert. Enjoy the concert.
I know. It's been a trend lately on Snapchat where people are just, they're snapping. And it's not like a whole song, obviously. It's not like they're, you know, any kind
of
copyright.
You only got like 15 seconds.
I know. So it's kind of pointless. And they're always like the really loud. You know when you're going through your stories and someone has a really loud Snapchat and you're like, oh my gosh. It's always the concert one. Just saying, like half of my Snapchat friends, I'm talking about you. I love you all, but I'm talking about you. Anyway, on to something more important.
I mean, if I wanted to see that concert, I would have bought tickets and gone to the concert. Why you gotta fill all the stories with the with this?
You just had a Mississippi accent.
I did.
It just made my day.
Stories. Why you gotta fill your stories with Snapchats at concerts?
Concerts. You know what you shouldn't Snapchat? Is tomorrow, if you go vote,
don't Snapchat your ballot. Do not.
It's illegal. Don't do it.
So anyway, yes, please go vote. Tomorrow is Florida's primary election, which usually means people who have declared their party affiliations as Republican, Democrat, or yes, even this year, Libertarian, get to vote between multiple candidates to select the person who will represent that party in a particular race. In addition to many different kinds of races, there are several nonpartisan races, meaning things that people like me who are independents can vote on, including a ballot initiative that...
Is it pro-solar panel?
It is pro-solar panel, okay. Because what it does is, okay, so anytime you buy something to put on your property, that increases the value of your property, and so your property taxes go up. And so what this ballot does is basically say to businesses across the state, if you buy solar power generating equipment, you put solar panels on top of all of your, you know, 100 gazillion locations, Walmart, we won't increase your property taxes on each one of your stores because you have invested in solar panel.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So there's that. That's Amendment 4. Mm-hmm. Which is different than Amendment 1, which will be on the November ballot. So don't get confused between the two. Amendment 4 is the solar panel break on property taxes. So the nonpartisan races on the ballot that could be decided in the primary, if one of the candidates get more than 50% of the vote, those races include for Brevard County School Board Districts 3 and 4, there are four candidates in each of those races, the 18th Judicial Circuit seat in Group 9, there are three candidates, a Brevard County Court seat in Group 2, there are four candidates, the Titusville mayor, that's three candidates. Titusville City Council, seat 3, there's four candidates there. Titusville City Council, seat 5, there's three seats there. If no candidates in any of these races get more than 50% of the vote, the top two vote getters will face off in what amounts to a runoff election on November 8th. Now, early voting in Brevard ended this weekend with more than 53,000 Brevard County citizens taking part, either in person or by mail-in ballot.
Cool, yeah.
So there's a lot of things. So if you're like me and you're not registered as any party affiliation, go vote anyway, because there's still stuff that you can put your stamp on and get approved that will make a difference here in Florida and in Brevard County. So.
Especially if you live in Titusville. My ballot was huge because there's so many local positions this particular primary.
The mayor's race, the two seats that are open. There's all kinds of judges' seats that are open. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's really a lot happening, especially in the north. So get out there and vote. And, oh, by the way, I will be out across the county tomorrow at a lot of these polling stations. I am the quote-unquote roving reporter tomorrow, which also, I guess, entails the weather reporter tomorrow because it's supposed to be rainy. So
it's
yay
Florida.
Me.
Because, you know, it never does that in Florida. You know, it never rains here.
Yeah, of course not. But apparently it's supposed to be particularly rainy tomorrow, so... I'll be out, so if you see me, be nice, because I'll probably not feel like roving the county 5 months pregnant, but I'll be out there, so we'll talk politics.
That was your life choice.
So anyway, I know, bad choices.
So, didn't you have something else election-related?
Oh, yeah. So I want to talk about Wayne Ivey, Sheriff Wayne Ivey. I'm calling it, I'm really proud of myself for this one, I've been calling it the Wayne Ivey League. Get it? Because, you know... If you have, if you've gotten a mailer lately, or you've seen a political ad on Facebook or social media, you may have noticed that a lot of these, a lot of candidates are saying, "Hey, I'm endorsed by Wayne Ivey." It's real prominent and bold lettering, like endorsed by Wayne Ivey, and it's become this thing in Brevard County. He's this sort of celebrity here, and you know, people really look up to him. And it's like I said, he's kind of like the quarterback of Brevard, where everybody kind of wants to sit at his lunch table, and especially those running for office. And he's kind of like the holy grail of a campaign these days. If you can get the Wayne Ivey stamp of approval, it almost kind of sort of means you might have a foot in the door a little bit. I can't say that because I don't really know. All we know is that the last time he endorsed candidates was in 2014. He endorsed 8 candidates and 7 of them won. This year he's endorsed 12 candidates, so we'll see if that trend continues. It really could go either direction. Maybe some people look at it and say, hey, I don't really like that a sheriff, a law enforcement officer, is becoming very political. Others say, hey, I really, you know, I really stand by what Ivy feels in a lot of different situations, and I really like that he's supporting this candidate. So I'm always curious if that makes a difference. And I helped Dave Berman write, I didn't help him write it, but I helped him research it a little bit. And we kind of delved into some social media groups to find out what people thought, if it really swayed their voting. And I noticed a lot of people were like, no, I want to research my own candidates. I mean, it's cool if he wants to endorse, but it's not really like the, you know, a deal breaker if a candidate has it or not. So I guess it's up to you guys how you feel about it. But either way, that Wayne Ivey League, man, it's going strong this year. He had 25 candidates ask him for an endorsement this year. And of course, he only gave it to 12.
Well, I would think that some of those would have been in the same race. So.
Well, of course. You can't only endorse everybody.
You can only endorse one in a race of 3.
Exactly.
So. All right, so moving from election stuff to some space stuff that's coming up. Jessica, I got to start out with a question.
All right.
Why it got to be so early, SpaceX?
What time is it?
So the private space company is planning a 3 a.m. launch Saturday from Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Air Station with an Israeli communication satellite.
I'll now, probably be up.
probably. CeCe will probably have you up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now, a successful launch means more than an overabundance of cat videos in Arab and African nations. According to space reporter James Dean's story, it means that a Chinese technology conglomerate can close on its acquisition of the satellite's owner, Spacecom. So, like, the whole deal was contingent on this particular satellite going up. And then once it's up, they can close the deal.
Hmm.
And it's like $285 million. Yeah.
Dang.
So, not only do the Chinese have a dog in this hunt, but so does Facebook, because Facebook is going to use part of the satellite, the Amos 6 satellite. They're going to use part of the satellite's capability for its internet.org initiative, which aims to bring internet access to roughly 4 billion people lacking it around the globe. So Amos 6 is going to bring cat videos and memes about Kanye to people everywhere.
That's funny. I had a meme about Kanye today.
Oh, that's nice. I'm going to let you finish.
But first.
Yeah, but first, in other space news, hey, Jessica, you remember that comment last week where the guy told you to kick rocks? Yeah, well, he probably wanted you to cover the next NASA launch, because that's exactly what NASA is going to be doing next week. Next Thursday, September 8th at 7.05 p.m., an Atlas V rocket is set to launch from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station with the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft. Now,
doesn't that sound like a dinosaur?
It does.
Come on.
Oh, like
the OSIRIS Rex.
I have a big head and small hands.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the $800 million mission will send the probe to a 2018 rendezvous with a dark carbon-rich asteroid called Bennu, thus the NASA kicking rocks part.
Ha-ha. I will kick those rocks, sir.
Indeed. Kicking those rocks now. After mapping and analyzing the surface of the 1,600-foot-wide rock, the spacecraft will drop down, grab a minimum 2-ounce sample of ancient gravel and or dirt that is slated for return to Earth in a small capsule by 2023. Did you see the video of Gags the Clown from Wisconsin?
Was that on the video rewind thing?
Oh my God, yes. Okay, so Gags the Clown is this clown that's roaming the streets of Green Bay in like this disheveled clown suit, and he's got black and white clown makeup on with this black smile painted on, and he carries four black balloons with him everywhere, and he is creepy as all get out, and the police are like, yeah, he's not armed, he's not breaking any laws, so...
It's just weird.
Sorry. And, like, there's some people that suspect he might be part of, like, a film that's being taken place, but people are seeing him wandering around the streets at, like, 2 a.m., and there's no film crews.
Is it Sacha Baron Cohen, secretly? Because that would be amazing. Maybe it's, like, his next Borat type thing. He's a clown this time. I really kind of hope it's
Borat,
that.
Borat, bullcrap. No, I don't like clowns. That's that is creepy.
Anyway. Oh, so we got to talk about home prices.
This is right, good. Cha-ching. This is
good. Good news.
You bought your house at the right time.
I feel like too. I feel like I didn't though. I feel like I paid a lot of money for my house because I did. Home values were all the way up when I bought my house.
But they're going even higher now.
They're going all the way up. You know, have you heard that rap song?
No.
All the way up. You haven't heard that song?
No.
By Fat Joe?
No.
All right. Fine.
I haven't even heard of Fat Joe.
Well, it's like there's like five different rappers. You would know it if you heard it. It's like all over the radio right
now.
Well,
one or five, I still haven't heard of Fat Joe.
Either way, all right, Fat Joe tells us it's going all the way up, and that is definitely what's happening in the real estate market around here. The recent median home price in Brevard rose to $196,000. That's 22% higher than it was this time last year. So, go us. Of course, a lot of us are starting to think, oh, crap, is this another housing bubble? I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking the same thing myself. Like, okay, how much higher could my property value really go? You know? But the real estate folks are saying, no, they're not too worried about this, that it's it seems feasible. There's new jobs coming to the area.
It's an influx from all of those people with Northrop Grumman and Lockheed that are coming in and buying up all the houses. There's no houses on the market.
Right. So the inventory is huge right now.
With a really, really low inventory of houses available on the market, the price goes up and sellers can ask more money for the houses they're putting out there.
Exactly.
Which is good.
And of course, I'm sure there are clusters across the county that are, you know, a little bit more active than others. You know, if you have a more desirable home, it's probably going to go a little bit faster if it's priced right than, say, like a home that needs a lot of work. Some of these engineers and people moving here might not want to put in all that work, so it's hard to say. I saw a couple comments on this story that were like, well, I see empty houses. Well, we don't know the condition of that house. There might be something
Well, it also depends on where those empty houses are.
Exactly.
If those houses are in, you know, MIMS, well, that's not going to do any good for somebody who's, you know, trying to get a job with Northrop Grumman at the Melbourne airport.
Hey, that's not that bad of a commute. I live in Titusville. My husband commutes to Melbourne airport every day.
Look, just because that's what you do doesn't mean that's what everybody else wants to do.
Oh, no, I've been telling you, it's not easy.
You were close to your mama.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, and I drive 30 minutes to Forest a day every day, so it's a commitment.
It is, but, you know.
I know.
But look at it this way. That 30-minute drive gives you plenty of time to listen to the Murder on the Space Coast podcast each week.
Actually, it does. And let me just say, I was really upset this morning because I got in my car and I knew episode 4 was coming out. And I got in and I turned on my podcast, my app on my phone. I have an iPhone. And it wasn't there. And it was because, like, it hadn't refreshed or something. And I got here and connected to Wi-Fi, and there it was. And so I haven't listened to it yet, and I'm very kind of butthurt about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why you should have refreshed your podcast before you left your house. Because my I told you so moment for the week, if you've been listening to John A. Torres's Murder on the Space Coast podcast each week, and you've listened to episode 4, Stack Deck, you too have most likely had an "Are you freaking kidding me?" moment. The 4th of 6 episodes was released Sunday evening, and again, if you aren't listening, you really should be. The podcast revolves around a 1983 murder of a Palm Bay woman and the conviction of one of her neighbors. The entire trial reads like the transcript of two other cases in which innocent men were convicted of crimes only to be released or exonerated decades later. The first 4 episodes are currently available in the iTunes and Google Play stores and on the Stitcher Radio and SoundCloud apps. Episode 5 will be released on Sunday evening. Now, if you are a fan, Florida Today is planning an event where you can meet John, me, and the rest of our Murder on the Space Coast crew, and at least a few of the people you hear in the podcast. That event will be September 14th at Open Mics on US 1 and Babcock Street in Melbourne. You can hear a special message from executive editor Bob Gabordi in the podcast as well. For more details and tickets, visit on.tod.com/MOSC.
Boom.
So remember, all the stories you just heard Jessica and I talking about can be found in Jessica's daily BDB column on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. That's it.
We will catch you back here next Tuesday. Why Tuesday? Well, because Monday is Labor Day and Jessica and I aren't working. So we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.